Seema Malhotra, Member of Parliament for Feltham and Heston.
So, as Small Business Minister, what was your reaction to the Autumn Statement?
Well, after this Autumn Statement, which I think is the fourth or fifth fiscal statement in a year, the first thing people are asking is, am I going to be better off? Is my family going to be better off with the Tories? And it seems that all the evidence is showing the answer is no. What's been really worrying Parliament is the knowledge now that living standards are set to fall, I think, almost 7% over the next 2 years. Wages in 22 will still be lower in real terms than even over 10 years ago. And the consequence of all of this, and I think the chaos that's been caused over changes and lack of growth over the last 10 to 12 years as well, is that there's lower spending power, people struggling to make ends meet. And I think as well as the impact for business was very clearly highlighted by the CEO of the London Chamber of Commerce at the weekend, saying that the budget seemed to do very little for small and medium-sized enterprises. But the reason why this is all really worrying is because we're likely to see a spiral of things getting worse and loss of consumer confidence, driving a loss of business confidence as well. This was an opportunity, frankly, for the government to apologise for the impact of their September disastrous mini-budget, because at that time, public spending cuts as well weren't even on the agenda. This has all happened since September. So I know now, and I think we all know, that the cost of living crisis is the top priority for people in Hounslow and across the country. People being hit by higher mortgages, lower living standards. One of the things I'm really pleased about is how Hounslow is coming together with cost of living marketplaces, something that I was really proud to help set up. This is where people who are struggling can access judgment-free financial advice and support. The next marketplace is going to be on the 3rd of December at the Heston Community Centre, but there's also other marketplaces planned in different areas. And what I would say to people who are struggling, I've had one constituent telling me of his £500 a month increase on his mortgage and the impact that's having on the family overall. I would encourage people to not suffer in silence. Please do get in touch with your councillors or your Member of Parliament. And if there's any way that we can help, whether it's in smoothing payments or finding some other way to assist, then that's what we've all got to do in this really, really difficult time.
One of the announcements was regarding business rates, and the government said that they will have a targeted support package worth £13.6 billion over the next 5 years. Multipliers are going to be frozen from 2023 to 24, and the Treasury says that might be a tax cut worth £9.3 billion over the next 5 years. What's your reaction to that? Do you think it goes far enough?
Any support for businesses is going to be welcome, because this is what helps our businesses who are struggling to get by at this time. But I think where it's missing, and where in a sense the government is still catching up, is that we need a much more wholesale reform of business rates. The Labour Party has been pushing for more support on business rates for the last year as well. And what businesses have been saying is that even these measures fall short of the scale of reform that's needed in order to also level the playing field between online and offline businesses. But this is a 19th century tax in the 21st century, and it's a tax that's also paid before there's a penny made in profit. I think what is important is that we get through this period. It's right that the government has brought in more support for business rates, as Labour has been calling for as well. But it is also important that the government doesn't push back its wider reform of business rates, which it's now been criticised again for doing so, and that we actually have the wholesale reform of business rates so that there's a fairer taxation system for businesses and much more in line with how businesses are operating today.
You spoke in Parliament recently about GP waiting times and what your constituents have been saying to you. Could you tell us a bit about what the people of Feltham and Heston have been saying to you?
Well, there is no doubt that the NHS is being gripped by the biggest crisis in its history. You've got stroke victims waiting around an hour for an ambulance. You've got vast swathes of England, and including many parts of Hounslow, that are now dentistry deserts, which means no NHS dentist is taking on new patients. And now we're hearing increasingly of people struggling to get through to their GPs and finding it really difficult to get a GP appointment when they need one. Now, I raised this issue of GP appointments in Parliament last week in a question to the Health Secretary, because what's becoming apparent is that when people do get appointments, they're finding that they might see a different GP the next time, and that it's really affecting their consistency of care. And this can vary across our practices. I know it's different in different practices at the moment, but everywhere our GP practices are struggling overall. Look, in truth, I think people will be really surprised to hear that the number of GPs has fallen nationally by almost 5,000 in the last 10 years. And recent reporting by the Evening Standard showed that people are actually waiting longer in London Southwest to see a GP than in other parts of London as well. It's so important that GPs are listened to, and it's so important that we have much faster action to try and fill the places, the unfilled vacancies in our health service. There's around 10,000 unfilled doctor positions. But the other thing that people may be surprised to hear is the government had cut medical school places by 30% at a time when we need doctors more than ever. So I'm working very hard now with our local health services to see what more we can do within the resources currently available with GPs, to see how some of the access to those those appointments can be made more flexible. Maybe there's more that can be done with video links and other tools that we were using during COVID. But where people needing those face-to-face appointments, what more support we can give to help GPs make that happen. And long term, I think the really important thing now is what Labour's been calling for, and I think there'll be more debate in Parliament, to actually increase the number of medical school training places and to make sure that we've got the new doctors, the new nurses, the health visitors, the midwives that we're going to need for the future.
You asked in a written question for the average waiting time for a GP appointment in the Feltham Heslin constituency in the latest period for which data is available, and you were told the information requested is not held centrally. You say you've been working with local NHS teams. Have you got closer to finding that information or similar relevant information?
This is another example of where the government is trying to avoid answering the questions that we have. And what this means is that I have to work harder to get the information, working with our health services, writing to and meeting GPs as well as trying to talk further with constituents about their experience and how long it's taking and what they're getting in as a result. Look, the government should be knowing much more about what's going on in the health service. This is yet more evidence of how the government really doesn't understand what's going on the ground, how also the impact of decisions they made in the last 10 years are taking effect. One example being that the government changed the law so that there was no longer a maximum number of around 3,000, just over 3,000 patients that a GP could have. That used to be capped so that there was a much greater guarantee of the level of support that any patient would have. The government changed that to take away that cap. And they also reduced the training medical school places. They've also restructured the NHS. That's made it so much harder to have the NHS working together. I mean, these things collectively are having the impact that they're having now. These failures are not acceptable. And I'm going to be calling on the government to be holding more data, to be knowing more about what's going on, and to make it easier for MPs to be able to call for more action on behalf of their constituents.
South Western Railway have recently announced some changes in South West London. Specifically at Feltham, they say their new timetable is more efficient and optimises services within current funding restraints. They say there's an improved distribution of services, of fast services, from London to Twickenham, Feltham and Staines. And there's going to be targeted changes to improve spread of services and alter the calling patterns. What's your reaction to that?
anything that's going to improve train services for our constituents and for those across Hounslow or coming to Hounslow is a welcome step. For far too long, we've been seeing issues like of sometimes unpredictable train journeys and sometimes overcrowded trains. We've seen improvements from Network Rail as well, improving the length of Feltham Station, and now I think improving, the services being provided. This is really important, and I will be keeping in touch with Southwest Railway on these improvements when they come in from the 11th of December. I hope that local residents will see an improvement and that trains are being better used, that the services are being spread out a little bit more, but also that this isn't affecting the fast service at peak times as well. So we want to make sure that the changes do have the desired effect. Residents will need to make sure that they check ahead of time, ahead of December the 11th, to make sure that their regular train time hasn't been altered, and if it has, that they're aware of the new time. And I will be keeping in touch with Southwest Railway. We'll be seeking feedback from constituents to say, is this now the improvements that we need? Are there still areas that we need to work on? And let's feed that back to make sure that there continues to be improvement for travel for our constituents.
The Hounslow Christmas Project is returning this year, offering gifts to people. Would you say that it's more necessary than usual this year?
The Hounslow Christmas Project is in its third year now, and this is a project that I started with the Hounslow Education Partnership, the Reach Foundation, and Hounslow's Promise, and it's to help deliver Christmas presents through schools so that no child goes without a present this Christmas. We're now working with over 40 schools this year, and they have requested what is approaching now 3,000 gifts. It is clear that times are getting tougher, and it is clear that schools are really experiencing at the sharp end what that's meaning for children who are all too often coming to school hungry as well, what that's meaning for what they have at home, what that's meaning for what they're likely to have at Christmas. So we are currently taking donations. The Reach Foundation is supporting with this as well. I'm very grateful to businesses like Russell Finex and Seagrow, Heston Hyde Hotel and others who have donated this year, and others who are continuing to, and members of the public who can donate on Just Giving. This is really important because what we can do in buying, wrapping and distributing gifts, all done by volunteers, to those schools that have kids in need, and to be able to help those schools give a little bit of Christmas cheer on behalf of the community to those children and to their families. You know, I think that's worth its weight in gold. And if anyone wants to help with wrapping of presents, well, I think there's still about 1,800 to do. And they're very welcome to get in touch with my office and to help with that over the next 2 weeks.